Life has its ups and downs, and like many of us, I face moments with depression. Music has always helped me find my way through, and I believe it can do the same thing for you. I'm James Cox, and this is the When Words Fail Music Speaks Podcast, a podcast about the healing power of music.
Hey everybody, welcome back to When Words Fail Music Speaks, where we fight depression with the power of music. I am your professional handicapped host, James Cox, and I have another interview today. It's going to be so great. I love this guy already, and I just met him. My guest today is Austin Frank, and he knows that sometimes the strongest songs are not written during life's easiest moments. They're written when music becomes the thing that keeps you moving forward. After enduring an unimaginable personal loss, battle cancer, and fighting to regain his own voice back, he turned those experiences into the foundation of Bastion Rose. Great band, great band. Today, we're talking about resilience, creativity, healing, and the music that's carried him through it all. Austin, welcome to the show, brother. How are you doing?
Doing great, man. Thanks very much for having me.
Good. Thank you so much for coming on. Usually I like to ask this question to my guests. How are you doing physically and mentally, you know?
Yeah. I think physically good, very good. And I think mentally, I did have a battle with cancer, and I'm still, you know, on like high surveillance and stuff where I have to go get checked out, you know, every 6 months or so to make sure nothing's come back. But, you know, knock on wood, everything, you know, I'm cancer free right now. So
great.
That's a good thing.
Yeah, because I looked it up and you had thyroid cancer, correct?
Yeah, that's right.
Okay.
Yep.
So
yeah, a lot of people don't know about the thyroid. I didn't know anything about the thyroid until they told me I had thyroid cancer, but it's right there and it controls your metabolism. So I had to have mine removed.
Oh, okay. Yeah, because I didn't know either, because I looked it up. And for people who don't know what it is, it says thyroid cancer is that it develops from the tissue of the thyroid gland, which is in the voice box area, correct?
Yep, that's exactly right.
And it is a disease in which cells grow abnormally and have potential to spread to other parts of the body. Well, great.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And mine was metastatic, which means it was moving. So it follows your lymph pathways. So I had a tumor that wasn't visible and nobody knew it was there. The doctor said it probably was there for like 5 years or more without ever knowing that it was there. And then the reason why I found out is because I had these lymph nodes way up here that were swollen and never went down. And I eventually went for a biopsy, and they right there in the office, the doctor, you know, he took what they call a fine needle aspiration biopsy, where they stick a needle in and pull some of it out. He put it in a slide and put it under a microscope right in front of me and told me right there that I had thyroid cancer.
Ooh, okay.
So right in the room.
So you couldn't tell that you had it by your voice. Your voice sounded fine up until.
Yeah, my voice was fine at that time. Okay. Yeah, my voice was fine, and my thyroid worked fine. Like my metabolism was fine. All my, you know, they check your thyroid hormone levels through blood tests, and all that stuff was normal. So there was no indication that there was anything going on. But since they were able to actually see it under the microscope. Doctors are trained to recognize it when they see it. So he knew, you know, right away what it was. And sure enough, when I went to get imaging on the inside of the thyroid, there was a tumor inside my thyroid, and it was actually like wrapped around my right vocal cord. So when I went to have the surgery to have the thyroid removed, it was particularly risky for a professional singer because nerves don't like. So it wasn't wrapped around my vocal cord. It was wrapped around what they call your laryngeal nerve, which controls the motion of your vocal cord. So he had to scrape on the nerve to get all the cancer off of it.
Yeah.
And he was worried about whether or not it would be paralyzed permanently. So when I came to, you know, he was like, he knew I was kind of high risk for losing my voice because of the location of the tumor, and he didn't give me very good news, but thankfully, I was, I wasn't in any danger. I was just in, I was in danger of not having a voice. So just the left cord was working and the right one was totally paralyzed. So all I could do is whisper for several, maybe like 4 months. And but I went through a kind of like a physical therapy regimen and things like that. And eventually I got little by little a little bit more. I was like able to phonate more, so actually get some voice out instead of just whispering. But it was hard, man. It was worrying for sure.
Well, I gotta say, brother, I love your voice. I
Thank
just
you.
truly love your voice. Cause I was listening to the Wild Honey EP,
Yeah, man.
Humble Me and the title track Wild Honey.
Taste of wild honey, sticky and sweet. Taste of
some of the best work I've ever heard in my life. I'm not bullshit.
Thank you, man.
It's so
Thank
great.
you. Yeah. So all that is part of an album that we did. It was our second record. It's called Traces of Gold. So why the Wild Honey? Yeah. The Wild Honey EP. It was one of the EPs that we released, kind of like in as we were walking our way toward that full album, which came out at the end of into last year. So, I appreciate you saying that.
And you do have a new release called Someday, which came out
Yeah.
July 17th, which is great
That's
also,
right. Thank you.
So for me, there's a lot of ways to notify to notice a band without even having to look in at the radio. You know, you got AC/DC, Soundgarden, Guns N' Roses. You know, you have that Bastion Rose sound that I would easily recognize. You know, how did y'all form that sound to make it so noticeable for guys like me? You know, connoisseurs of
I don't
music.
know.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
Okay.
it's a
Yeah.
good question, you know, because like, and I've talked a little bit about this before, but like, I really just make the music that I know how to make. So, and I think most bands are like that, you know, the ones that are true to themselves, they're really just doing what they know how to do. So, you know, when I make, you know, when we make a song, it just kind of comes out that way, and my
Yeah.
voice just happens to sound the way it sounds, and we all like the type of music that we like, so it just adds up to what you're hearing. And you know, I think I know for sure that there's a different attitude. There's a whole other different philosophy of songwriting, which is to figure out what band do we want to sound like, and then try to aim at that. So, for example, you could say, we want to appeal to, you know, Metallica fans or
Yeah.
Led Zeppelin fans, and we're going to write music that we think sounds kind of like Metallica or Led Zeppelin. And every time you're writing a song, you're like, well, does this sound like Metallica? Does this sound like Led Zeppelin? Will Metallica and Led Zeppelin fans like this? And that's a to totally different attitude, I think, that makes it more like commercial, or you're like aiming at an audience first, and then you're coming up with the music second. Whereas I think bands that are, what it means to be true to yourself is to do it the opposite of that. You come up with music that you just make, that's just real, that's coming out of you. And if it sounds like something else, then that's great. And if it sounds like nothing anybody's ever heard before, that's fine too. So that's what I'll, that's my long-winded answer to, I have no idea how we ended up sounding the way that we sound.
Well, for me, I think it's the way that y'all just come in without any warning. You know, it's just raw and powerful at the same time. You can't not stop listening to it when you come on.
Yeah.
You know,
Thanks.
yeah,
Yeah.
yeah. Okay, so let's go back to when you were a kid. Okay,
Yeah, man.
so what song? Because I know there's a lot of songs that inspire you to become a musician, you know. But was there
Yeah.
one song that completely just changed
Yeah.
the way you heard music?
I mean, the one I think that really changed the way that I thought about music and made me really, really interested in playing, like the reason why I started to play, like I wanted to learn to play guitar when I was a young kid, was Iron Man by Black Sabbath. You know, I just heard Iron Man, and it was late at night, and I was with my dad in his pickup truck, and it was playing on our local radio station, Q95, the one that Bob and Tom are from. And it just really rocked me, man. Like it had that, you know, it's got that darkness and confidence, and I liked the lyrical content too. So it's like about this outcast man who really just wants to help people, but he's like a pariah, even though he's just trying to help people. But then it switches, and he decides he's going to take his vengeance on everyone. It's almost like Frankenstein, actually, like the story of Frankenstein, in a way. But I just loved the whole thing. And you know, when I was really young, I was into, like, you know, comic books and superheroes and all that stuff. And there was a parallel there with the lyrics, you know, Iron Man. And Iron Man, of course, is a Marvel Comics character. It's not the same as the Iron
That
Man
no,
in
right?
at all. Yeah. But I just thought, and but the guitar riff though, like that Tony Iommi attitude with the big sounding, you know, almost like just like a wall of sound with the power chords and the bass. You know, Geezer Butler, he's all over the place. Like he plays almost like a lead guitar player. It's very melodic, and I think that some of our music, you know, probably leans into that approach as well. Like it's not always just like following the guitar perfectly. It kind of goes off and does its own things, and makes it more interesting. But so yeah, Black Sabbath, I think, is probably the number one band that really informed, you know, me wanting to play guitar and be, you know, get really deeper into the heavier music. But then, of course, you know, branching off from there, it's almost like my taste in music followed the history of heavy rock music. 'Cause like Black Sabbath first, and they were kind of the first one, you know, in real life, in history, they were the first, you know, they're credited with being like the godfathers of heavy metal. Like they created it in a little town in England. And but then like all the bands that you think about, like Tool and Metallica and Gojira, and like anybody you can really think of that has like a heavy, dark attitude can draw their lineage back to Black Sabbath. And I've of course like love all those bands I just mentioned. Tool is like just, you know, they're one of my favorite bands of all time. So is
Tool is
Metallica. I've seen them
weird.
a
They
bunch.
got a so weird timing in their music. It's hard to keep up, you know.
Yeah, and I think that's I think that's something I'm really attracted to, as well as the interesting rhythms. And it's almost like it's a rhythm band first. So you kind of follow these kind of strange timing changes. And I think as you li Tool's a band where I think on first listen of one of their records, you're kind of like, wow, what is it I'm hearing?
Oh, I think you cut out.
I think I lost you.
There we go.
You hear me now?
Yes.
Okay,
Hey,
great.
we're back. Yep.
Yeah, Tool, yeah. Awesome. Sorry about that. Yeah. Tool is like one of those bands where like on first listen, maybe not their first record because that one's more straightforward, but everything after that, you might be like kind of like, what am I listening to? This is kind of bizarre. Some of it's kind of bizarre. But then the more you listen to it and you're able to predict because you've heard it so many times, it's just like you get into it, man. It's like it's got this groove. It's like a groove band, even though at first listen, I don't think you would think it's like a groove band necessarily. But I think of them as a very groove-centric band.
Which version do you like better, Opiate One or Opiate Two? Because there's two of the
I don't know.
bands, you
It's
know.
hard to say. It's hard to say.
I love the second one, dude. It's so it's just more catchy to me. I don't know how to explain, you know. It's just more there's more bass in it, you
I
know.
think my favorite ones. Oh yeah, for sure. I think that all the best stuff is after Justin Chancellor joined. Like I love you know, Anima and Lateralis. Like those two albums especially are just masterpieces. And David Bottrell, who produced our records, produced those records.
Oh, nice.
Which was a really big, you know, yeah, he's our producer, and he's produced our first EP, and he also produced the Traces of Gold album. So like those two songs you mentioned, Wild Honey and Humble Me, like he was involved in deciding that those would be on record, and then he produced them and mixed them and everything, because we send him like a bunch of demos, and then he kind of helps us figure out like what group of songs will make a good record. That's why like a big part of what producers do. And it was just, you know, it's been really awesome to work with him, and certainly the records sound incredible, like for him being, you know, part of that process.
Two sidebar questions I want to ask you since we did bring them up in the past conversation.
Yeah.
Black Sabbath. Okay, so there's a lot of speculation, which I don't agree with. I think that Black Sabbath will always be the founders of metal, right? But there's
Yeah.
a lot of people that says Deep Purple is.
Yeah, I don't think so. I don't think
I don't
so.
consider Deep Purple metal. I consider them rock, you know. And I think
Yeah,
that's
I
and I think
agree.
and I think that's very confusing, you know, for people to understand that, you know.
Yeah, and it thinks and you think of like, you know, now we're getting into genres and categories, and really what we're
I don't
talking
like
about
all
is
that
the
genre
meaning.
stuff.
The meanings of words are important, because when you say metal, you might mean something different than what somebody else means. And the meaning changes over time. So like I remember when, you know, in like the 90s, when we talked about metal, we were talking about like, you know, Black Sabbath fits squarely into metal, but then you had like Godsmack and Disturbed and Metallica and like heavy bands with heavy guitar stuff. And then also like screaming stuff started to become more and more popular. And then, you know, now I feel like if you say heavy metal, Like for the last several years, it seems like, if it's not screaming, it's almost not metal to a lot of in a lot of
Yeah,
people's minds.
right.
And it's like, what are you talking about? Like metal existed long before people started screaming over heavy music, like heavy rock guitar and heavy drums and stuff. Like I think of Metallica as being a heavy metal band. Like that is the one of
That
the
is
most
the
important heavy metal
quintessential,
bands.
yes. Yeah.
Yeah, but some people don't even think of Metallica really as heavy metal. They think of more of as like a hard rock band, like just like a heavy hard rock band. And I think that has everything to do with how meanings of words change and genres kind of take different shape.
Right.
Like rock. What does rock mean anymore? I mean, you see all these like rappers and stuff getting inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. It's almost like rock has become a cultural thing more than it's like a style of music. It's like an attitude. But what is it? I mean, and you can just you can think whatever you want about that. That's like an observation. Is it true? Is it not true? Is rock still a style of music, or is it more like a cultural attitude?
Yeah.
I'm not really sure. Yeah, Youngblood, Youngblood is this, big up and coming. And I love Youngblood in terms of his like attitude and his look, and he seems like an awesome dude. I love his singing voice, but his music, I don't really feel like is that rocking, like
Right.
it's like more like pop inspired by rock,
Yeah.
which is fine. It's awesome. It's
Yeah.
just I don't know if I would call it like rock music necessarily in most cases. It's more like pop that's kind of like rock, just an attitude.
Right. Yeah, me and my friend John, we get so like angry at like subcategories,
Yeah, oh yeah.
because why can't you just label like country, rock, rap,
Yeah.
jazz, instead of this new metal, new doom impending, like
Yeah.
I don't I, we don't understand a thing about that. Why can't that just be under
Yeah.
the major category? That's what we don't like.
Yeah.
So
Totally.
and the other side of our question, were you or are you a fan of Megadeth?
I'm not really a big fan of Megadeth. I think Dave Mustaine is like he's a really good guitar player, obviously. And I've always wondered what it would have been like if he could have stayed in Metallica. Like what would have, and I love Kirk Hammett, of course. And I love all the music they've done together with that lineup. I'm a huge Metallica fan. Seen him a bunch of times. Traveled to different countries to see him. I love him. But like the Megadeth thing is just there's something that feels it's just not true to my attitude, I think. There's this kind of like kick you in the balls, like skulls on fire kind of attitude that is not really what I'm about. I'm kind of more into the, I guess you'd say like introspective kind of sadness, I guess is what I would call it. Like Megadeth doesn't feel very sad to me.
Right on.
Whereas I think Metallica does. Like there's like deep sadness in
Some
Metallica
songs.
that I really track with that.
Going back to Bastard Rose now. There's a lot of okay, so why was Bastard Rose the right name, and did you ever reconsider something else? Because there's Yeah, there. I'm sure there's been bands who questioned their own name, right when they got
Yeah.
started. Did you ever
Yeah,
question your band name, or did you do? Oh, okay, this is it. This is a
I knew. I mean, as soon as I thought of that name, I knew that that was the name that I was going to stick with forever. And I've been in another was called Blue Rising before it was called Bastion Rose, and we played as Blue Rising for many years, like several years, and came up with a lot of music. And some of the songs that we're releasing now were from that catalog of songwriting. So it's like songs that were really good that just never got that we, that we believed in. Like Someday, the one you brought up, that's the newest single, that was from the Blue Rising catalog. And we just decided to bring it forward and, dust it off and bring it into the Bastion Rose catalog, like officially make it part of our set and our upcoming record, which our upcoming record is called Blue Rising, which is like a fallback to calling back to when we were called Blue Rising. But Bastion Rose, for me, after Blue Rising as a group kind of fell apart, it didn't feel right to continue using that name. And after everything I had been through with,
Okay, yeah.
losing my parents and, going through the cancer thing, and I just kept coming back to roses. Like, I got really interested in roses, actually, like gardening. And I planted a rose for my dad, whenever he passed away, like in the spring after he passed away. And I took really good care of it. I was just like really kind of obsessed almost with this, pruning it and making sure there weren't any like bugs on it. Like, every single day I took care of this
Yeah.
rose. And it just became this big symbol for me about like living, like the like how the temporary nature of life and the fact that, all too shall pass became kind of like a mantra. And I thought of the rose as a symbol of that. And the bastion thing is just like a stronghold. Like a bastion is like a fortress or a stronghold. It's like a position of strength and power. And what I found is that by focusing on the fact that all things kind of fade, it gave me that sense of power. And when I feel like overwhelmed, it was like a grounding perspective to just remember. And I mean, it's nothing new, really. I mean, it goes all the way
Right.
back to like, it's from the Bible. It's from like the Old Testament, this too shall pass.
Yeah.
But it really just like resonated with me, and that's how Bastion Rose became the name of the band. And so you'll hear, a lot in a lot of our lyrics and a lot of music, it's about that, actually. It's about the how, having the grit to kind of like get through. And we have a song called Dust that we released this year, that is about that as well. It even says like, wake up, smell the roses, as a like one of the lyrics in the bridge, and everything kind of ties back to that attitude.
Right. I think that the name Bastion Rose, and you're 100% correct. It says the name Bastion Rose represents the two contrasting ideas: bastion, which means strength, protection, and resilience, and then rose, obviously, it's beauty, vulnerability, and life's temper, and life's nature, which is perfect example of like positivity all over the board.
It is very positive. Like, it's like if I could say kind of exactly what all of our music is kind of about, or why it exists, it's always about resilience. It's always about because living isn't really always that easy. Obviously, we're all destined to experience really hard times and have our own personal challenges that offer us a lot of friction as we live on our journey. And I know that your podcast is all about, how music can be helpful there. And that's why I was eager to talk to you whenever you invited me on. It's like, wow, this is right up my alley, because this is what our music is really all about. It's about offering something that will make you feel powerful when you feel powerless, or make you feel strong when you feel weak. And yeah, I mean that's kind of the whole perspective, I think, of Bastion Rose.
So is there like I know you've been through an incredible loss, and your thyroid cancer, which you said you're cancer free right now, correct?
That's right, yeah.
Yes, congratulations
Yeah.
on that, brother. I didn't congratulate you before. I'm sorry about that.
Thank you.
But
Appreciate it.
is there a song that you've written that still hurts to perform live to today? Or
Yeah.
it's all songs like, okay, well, this was an easy song to play,
Yeah. That's a really good question. There's some songs that I don't play live at all. I've never played live.
Okay.
And some of them are on my YouTube. I also do like acoustic solo performances, just like, especially during COVID. Like, most of the ones that are on the Bastion Rose YouTube, when I'm playing solo acoustic, are songs that I wrote during COVID and performed. And sometimes I use a loop pedal and stuff like that. And there's one on there called October 29. And that was my dad's birthday, and I wrote it on October 29, like the first year that there was a, he had a birthday and he wasn't alive. And that one I have never played live. It was hard for me to even do the like acoustic performance of it, but I do think it would be a good song to to record. I love the song. I think it's a beautiful song, but it's just like pretty difficult, I think, to play live. There's also one, there's one that is not part of the, it's not part of our recorded catalog that I do acoustically called Fortune Teller. And it's about how you don't really know as you're living your life kind of which way to go. You may be faced with all kinds of different choices and challenges, and you kind of have to live your whole life to know whether or not the things that you've done or the choices you've made, were the right ones, whatever that means.
All right.
You're just kind of like, you're just making it up all along the way. And I think there's something kind of poetic about that, and kind of scary and somewhat energizing. Like there's just a lot, I think, wrapped up into that. And sometimes I get kind of emotional when I play that one.
If someone hears after the show goes and listens to Bastien Rose, after loss, like you've been through. What do you hope they walk away believing? I mean, is there like a message you want to send to them before they
Yeah.
even listen to one of your amazing songs?
Yeah.
After they lost somebody that they,
Yeah. Yeah. I think what I would say is that I think that the most important thing is just to keep breathing and keep moving forward, just one foot in front of the other. Because, and I'll actually like share a story. When I was when I was grieving my dad shortly after he passed away, because it happened like very suddenly, we were super tight, so it was like a really dis it was really destabilizing for me. I didn't really know, like, frankly, what was even going on. I was just like almost in a daze of kind of sadness and depression and everything, and every day I woke up and it was just like this nightmare kind of. And someone told me that they knew what I was going through and that they had lost their dad a few years ago, a few years back, and that and it was about a similar situation. And what he told me was that the pain never goes away, but it does get easier. And I didn't even know really what that meant. And but what I found was it's true. Like I still think about my parent. Like my mom actually died right after my dad. It was like, and it was not connected. It was just this like freak, coincidence. And so like that time was super difficult. And I still think about them both like every day, kind of multiple times a day. It's like a part of me and it's sad, but it's not debilitating. Like I now feel like I can be interested in pursuing, I want to write a song or I want to go do this. I want to, be with my friends. I want to listen to music. Like there's a period of time in grief where you feel as though nothing could ever be normal again. Like you could never feel the way you used to feel. You're not even yourself anymore. You're a different person. And it does change you, I think, when you're somebody that's that close to you is gone. It changes you forever. But it does get easier. So especially in the early times, it's like that, I think, is the one thing that I would say to remember is that if you can just keep breathing and just keep moving forward, it will get better. It will get easier. And actually, as a matter of fact, someone yesterday, no, 2 days ago, sent me this message. And I'll share it with you. I won't share their name, but it's stuff like this that makes me feel really good about the type of music that we're doing and like maybe the positive impact that we're having on people, even when we don't know they exist. But they reached out and said, I don't think I've ever left a comment on a video. I found this song the day I found out a really close friend passed away. It also happened to be the same day this song was released. This song came out at the exact same time I really needed it and has gotten me through the worst part of it. And I mean, that is why we do stuff, that we do this stuff, you know. And that was about the song Dust, which is one of the ones that we've released this year. And that's kind of what I hope to offer to the world, like as a musician, is stuff to make people give them some solace, I think, or some make them feel powerful when they feel powerless, make them feel strong when they feel weak, stuff like that.
Yeah. That's, I don't know how to, wow. Okay. Yeah. How often do you get those messages, you know, that your music saves somebody?
Not too often, but like I would say every couple of months I'll get a direct message like that.
Okay.
And it's been happening for years, like
Oh,
occasionally. I
okay.
remember, and there's this one, I remember there's a song that we released that someone told me that it helped them. They had to have a series of surgeries and it was really scary for them. And it made him feel powerless because they were, you know, like in bed and healing, you know, it was like some kind of spinal thing that they had to go through. And one of our songs was what they listened to like on repeat to make them feel like they could do it and it, like they would heal, and they're healed now. So, I mean, it's like stuff like that is really powerful. It's more important than, you know, the amount of streams you get or any kind of big shows you get to play or any of that stuff. Like when you know that you've connected with a real human in a way that only that song in that moment for that person could, that is magic. That's like real magic in this world. And I would not trade it for anything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I want to talk about soundtracks real fast for you with you. Do you have any soundtracks that you really, really love?
Like movie soundtracks?
Yes.
Yeah, man.
Yes. Okay. All
Yes.
right. Now, do you consider musicals as the, 'cause
Sure.
my favorite musical of all time and the soundtrack is badass. It's a movie called Repo Man. Not that you
Never
love
heard
crap.
it.
Not that Jude Law crap. It's the one with Anthony Head Stewart, the Buffy Giles guy. You know he sings. You know
Oh yeah, Giles from Buffy.
Giles just passed away. Yeah, he passed
Yeah,
away
he
this
was in
week.
Ted Lasso too.
Yes, but he was in
Yeah.
a movie called Repo Man, and you should watch it because it's a
Okay, yeah, I will.
fantastic soundtrack. You know, but
Yeah.
yeah. Do you have any favorite soundtracks?
I mean, the first one that comes to mind is like Lord of the Rings. You know, I like movie scores, and I really admire people like John Williams and Hans Zimmer, and people that can take like a story or a scene and they create these like melodic motifs that appear throughout the story and it like return to, and Bear McCreary.
Yes, I love him.
Oh my God, that
Yes.
guy is some kind of genius. And he does like God of War. He does movies and TV shows and stuff, but
Godzilla got a war. Yes, video games.
Yeah, video games. Yeah, I mean, he is just some kind of freaking genius, man. Because he, all three of those guys, actually. I mean, it's like John Williams, of course, did, you know, Star Wars.
Superman,
I
you
mean,
know.
Superman, all those really heavy hitting, beautiful scores. And it's like, and I honestly, that kind of stuff, we've been called cinematic rock. I don't know where that came from, but I like a lot of like press, you know, press releases will come out and it's like cinematic rock band. Bastien Rose did whatever and like released a new single or did whatever. And it's like, I don't know who said that first, but that sounds really cool. Like cinematic rock. I guess some of it is kind of cinematic. You know, we like I let you know, I really like stuff that sounds big and melodramatic and like it, you know what I mean? So yeah, those movie scores like that just blow my mind. Another good one, and it was a Hans Zimmer score, was you ever see Gladiator
And what
with
was Russell Crowe?
Yeah, that music is just devastating. Where he's like walking through the wheat and he's like thinking about his family who's been murdered by Joaquin Phoenix's character, he plays a Commodus, the
And then he becomes Caesar. Yeah.
yeah, you become Caesar,
Yeah.
yeah. And the whole movie is about him taking vengeance on him
Right.
after he's murdered his family.
I need to watch that
And
today.
oh my
You just bring
God.
up a great movie that I need to watch right
I
now.
watch that one probably once every year or two. I'll
Right.
watch it
Yeah.
again.
Yeah.
It's one
You
of
got
those
to.
great movies.
Yeah.
Ridley Scott. Yeah, what a phenomenal movie. And the music, I'm telling you, that it like something just locks in perfect there with the score and the plot and the acting. It's just magic.
Yeah. I'm a big believer in God, and I strongly believe that we are living out a movie with he's watching all of these movies that he created, right? But for you, do you believe that every person has a soundtrack to their life? I mean,
Well,
like you're
yeah.
living life. Like, imagine God is watching a movie of you. You were living your
Yeah.
life, but he's watching the quote of movie,
Yeah. That's a
And
good question.
when you pick music, I guess, to listen to, I guess it's kind of like your soundtrack of life.
Yeah. I
Yeah.
would say so. Yeah, and I think that yeah, I have pretty complicated and nuanced views of God and God's existence. I tend to believe that there is a consciousness, like a conscious creator.
Yeah.
I wouldn't say I'm definitely not a follower of any one specific system of beliefs. Like I'm not a practitioner of one particular group of beliefs that's written down in someone's book.
Right.
But I've studied a lot of those books. It's been one of my big, I think, life projects is to make sense of why we're here and what is living, like what is life and what happens after we die and what is consciousness and what does it mean to be a person and do we have free will? And, these are the types of questions that I think about every single day. So I'm like a very, I would say I'm a very spiritual person. And I do believe in a, kind of like an, I would say maybe like an omnipresent
Okay.
consciousness. But what I think is that we all are part of that one consciousness. And there are actually like parallels with some of the modern thinkings of like theoretical physicists about what consciousness actually is. Because a lot of people think that for 200, 300 years, scientists have basically thought that consciousness just comes from your brain. Your brain reaches a certain level of complexity, and then poof, consciousness suddenly, by some mysterious, unknown, and as yet undescribed phenomenon, consciousness just shows up, which is why a lot of people think AI could be conscious someday because they think it's a function of a level of complexity of like computation. But I don't believe that. And there's really no evidence to suggest that. I think consciousness is real and it's not, it doesn't just come from your brain. I think that it's fundamental to the universe and that that is God. Like whatever the consciousness that pervades everything is God. And so kind of we are all God. It's in us all. And there's parallels with all the major, systems of beliefs there. Like you could point to, Christianity or Judaism or Islam or Buddhism or Hinduism. And find that idea in each of those. So, in terms of music and where it fits, and if there's a soundtrack, I kind of think that if there is one, it's the one that we're creating. And if you find a piece of music that you really love that someone wrote, another artist wrote. I think the reason why you're connecting with it at such a deep level is because of a creative process. Like when you listen to a song, you think of part pieces of your life, or you see images, or there's this creative process that happens in your mind when you listen to a piece of music. And the interaction between you and the song is what makes it powerful to you. It makes it part of your journey. Part of your life. So in a lot of ways, I think music is always a creative process, whether you're a musician or not. If you're just a listener, you're just listening to music and you just love listening to music, you're a creative person because you're creating something. in your mind when you're listening to that music. Otherwise, it just doesn't hit. You know, there's it just falls
Right.
flat. You know,
Yeah.
you ever show somebody a song you just love and
And
they
they hate it
don't?
like I hate it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it makes me so mad that they don't like
I
it.
know, me too. Yeah, it's because they're not creating, they don't have the same creative juice to resonate with that particular piece of music. But then they might show you a different thing that they love that you don't love.
Right.
You
Right.
know, and it's because you have a different kind of personal perspective based on your past experiences and your genetics and all in your lineage and like what's happening currently in your life. And there's all these different ingredients that go into this moment where you're like really resonating with the song. And it's a creative act. That's a really long-winded and kind of heady explanation, I guess, of
Yeah,
kind of
it's fine.
way to answer the
It's what I needed. Yeah, that's all. Okay,
question.
but quickly going back to AI, I like to be
Yeah.
nice. I like to be so nice to my AI. You know, I always say please. You know, because
Oh yeah, I was like, "Hey, excuse me, sir."
when they take over, hey man, he's a handicapped man alone. He was nice to us. You know, let's
Yeah.
save him. You know, I wanted to be
Yeah.
on, you know, that side of the thing when they take over. You know, one day.
Yeah.
You know, so yeah,
Yep.
I think AI is good, but I think many people are jumping the gun, you know, because it's still in the infancy and it's not fully developed yet.
Yeah,
But
for sure.
that's not to say that they'll like what you said, form like a conscience of their own. You know, I don't know. That's kind of scary, but kind of like, it's not here yet. You know.
I personally don't believe that AI could ever become conscious, because that once again supposes that consciousness is a function of complexity. I definitely think that AI could become smarter than a human, but intelligence doesn't equal consciousness. You know what I mean?
Right,
So
yeah.
it's like, I think that I think the smartest AI model today, you could probably say is smarter than like a dog, or like maybe not a dog, let's say something even less smart, like an
Like a
ant,
rat, right? Yeah,
a
yeah,
rat. Yeah,
yeah.
it's like, but an ant, most of us would agree, probably has consciousness. Like,
Oh,
it's not
yeah.
just like a little robot. It's like, is do you think it's like something to be an ant? Like, there's a first person, like it's crawling around and it sees things and it's doing something. It feels like it's like something to be an ant. I do. I think that it is like something to be an ant. You can kind of like try to visualize what it might be like to be an ant. And you'll probably be wrong, but like we all can kind of, most of us can agree that there's lights on in that ant, in the ant's little world. And I don't think it's like anything to be AI. I don't think that there's any conscious element to what's happening, because, and it's partially because I've like I probably studied computer science and like
Nice. Yeah.
software development more than a lot of people have. It's really just a fancy conditional system. There's no freedom in these systems. It's just based on like probabilities and conditional trees. So it's no more than just a really fancy if this then that machine. But it just seems like it's conversing with you. But really, it's just taking patterns and words that you've provided and spitting out patterns of words back to you based on all of the content that's ever been created. So it's just looking at stuff that's happened and finding like a combination of words to send back to you based on what you just asked and everything that's ever been, you know, that it has access to, that's been used to train its model. So it's a lot different, I think, than a conscious being. Intelligence and problem solving, or you know, it's not equivalent to being awake, to having like a first person perspective of what's going on. And I get pretty frustrated when really smart people like Neil deGrasse Tyson and, you know, people that he might have on his like Star Talk podcast like suggest that that might be possible, because it really points to like, wow, these guys are really smart about astronomy and astrophysics, but they're not thinking very deeply about consciousness right now. It bugs me. It's a pet peeve of mine.
Well, you go on AI and music. I really don't like Spotify for, I don't know why. I just you know, I don't not like anything at all, but Spotify is hard for me to hard. I don't like it. Okay. But I will do commend them for getting rid of, like, I think I read like 400,000 AI songs, you know,
Yeah, I saw that. That was
which
like what,
I really,
2 weeks ago,
really,
something like that?
I really commend them about that.
Absolutely. I mean, it was bad enough that streaming has kind of destroyed the value of
Music.
music. But then you come and you bring in AI, and it's like a kid, 15-year-old kid can come in and just prompt an AI model like Suno or something, and be like, write a song that it sounds like this. And then in 2 minutes, it creates a whole song. And then you just release it to Spotify, and Spotify treats it like as if it's a real song. And to your point, like, I mean, how are they, first of all, like, how was Spotify supposed to know that was going to happen? They didn't have anything really in place. Like, the whole AI thing has just kind of come really fast, and people are just trying to make sense of it. And everybody's kind of waiting to see what Spotify did. And to their credit, like you said, like, they are trying to now identify AI created bands and songs and just delete them. And I'll tell you this, last fall, I remember I was listening to Bastien Rose Radio, which is like a function on Spotify. You can like go to a band and then it'll create like a radio station, kind of like Pandora does. And I was listening to that because I like to see what other bands start popping up. Like sometimes I discover really cool new bands that way that I really kind of jive with because of the similarities. But I remember seeing this band. And I was like working in the yard or something, and I just had my AirPods in listening, and the song came up, and I was like, this sounds pretty cool, but I think it might be, I was like, sound, I think this might be AI. So I went and I checked it out. They had like just released a whole record on the back of like three other records, and they had just come out like 2 months ago or something,
Back
something
to back to
crazy like that.
yeah
Yeah,
yeah
back to back to back. And they had a ton of monthly listeners because Spotify's algorithm was it incentivizes the frequency of release. So if you could like release a song every week, like on Friday every week for like a year, probably before this whole AI thing, I don't know, they've probably made some adjustments hopefully up to this, but like that would be really, really good for an artist if they could just release a song like every Friday, you know, forever.
Right.
But that's not really feasible for real artists because it's hard to write songs. It's not only hard to write songs, but it's hard to record them. You know, you get into a studio and it's like you got to make it sound good. A lot of people are involved in making these records the right way, but AI can do it in 5 minutes.
Right.
So it's
Which is
like,
wild, you know?
okay, yeah. And then they get 500,000 monthly listeners that their streams have like, you know, a million streams or whatever because Spotify's showing it to people because it's incentivizing the frequency of releasing and they're releasing really fast. So what happens is this single person who's not a real band, who's not a musician probably at all, is just and isn't writing lyrics most likely, is just like, and that's money in their pocket because all those streams generates money. So it's what it's actually doing is stealing from real artists who are creating real content on the internet, because the way that Spotify kind of the way that they pay artists is amount, it's like a percentage of the total amount of subscriptions that people are paying for. So it's not like a stream just equals like a specific number of cents or whatever. It's dependent on like how much money Spotify made that you know, month too. And it's also depending on how many streams that like the artists get. So it's kind of a weird like systems of math. But what we're seeing is that the AI artists would get like, you know, probably a few grand for like, you know, million streams or whatever. And then the real artists are having streams basically taken from them because the time that they were spent listening to a fake band, they could have been listening to a real band. No matter what genre, no matter what, it's like it could have been a real person instead of a fake person, a fake band. So, not to mention all that music we create.
And to go off what you said earlier, you can make a song through AI within, like you said, 5 minutes, you know.
Absolutely.
And
Yeah. And actually,
all these
yeah.
bands are taking their time writing songs and
Yeah.
putting in thousands of money just for
That's right.
Because, you know, all these AI things are taking over, you know, so it's just stupid, you know.
It's really stupid, yeah. And like for people that are curious about how that workflow actually works, because there's a lot of people that might be like, well, how could you make a song in 5 minutes? How could the model do that? Or like, how could I do it?
Right.
Rick Beato, who has a popular YouTube channel, he did a really good breakdown of the workflow. Like he just like went into Suno, which is one of the most popular like artificial intelligence music creator softwares. It's on the web. And he just walked through the whole thing. He was just like, here's how it's done. And he's like built a whole song on, you know, on his channel just to show people the reality of for awareness.
Right.
And it's pretty eye opening.
Yeah. We do have a few minutes, but I do want to thank you for coming on again. But we're going to close this with a fun segment called Lightning Round. So what I'm going to do is I'm just going to ask you a quick question, and you're going to say yes or no, or to pick between the two, okay?
Okay.
All right. What first concert? What was your first concert of all time?
Charlie Daniels Band.
I love it. What has been the loudest concert?
Marcus King Band.
Okay. This is off the top of my head. Have you ever fell asleep during a concert? Because I have.
Yes, I have.
Yeah. Do you remember the band? Or do you not want to say? Okay.
I'll tell you. It wasn't a band. I was really relaxed, and the music is really beautiful. But it was actually a string ensemble doing Vivaldi's Four Seasons.
Oh, perfect.
So it was like a Baroque thing.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, it was so calming. But that's good sleep. Yeah, it's a good. Yeah, because I.
Yeah, it was good. Yeah, and it was only for like a second. Like I just got really relaxed. And I was like, oh. Yeah. And I watched the whole thing. Other than that, I don't know.
I don't know if you heard the band 3 inches or like 2 inches. 2 inches of blood.
3 inches of blood. Yeah,
But they did not do it for me that day. So I just slept until Machine Head come on. You know, like yeah.
They had a song called "Deadly Sinners."
Yes.
Yeah.
Best guitar riff ever.
Probably Iron Man.
Okay. Agreed. Underrated band.
Wow. Yeah. I don't know. That's a really good question. I'll give it to you.
Yeah.
There's a band called Baylen. Baylen. They're based out of they're in upstate New York, I believe, and it's three siblings. It's two brothers and a sister. They all sing lead, and I've seen them a bunch. I think we're kind of friends now, I would say, because frankly, just because I am some of the other guys in the band are such big fans of Baylen. We'll go see them. They're coming back to our town in September. We're gonna go see them. And hopefully hang out a little bit. But yeah, Baylen, if you haven't heard of them, look them up. And it's like they've got that blood harmony. You know how like when people are related and they've been singing together the whole lives, it just sounds like butter to the ears. It's
just
magic. They've got that. And their songs are amazing.
That's Baylen.
That's right. Baylen. Underrated. That's my pick for most underrated band.
I just found on Apple Music. Everybody should go to Apple Music or Spotify and look up Baylen. Baylen. All right, yeah, perfect. Baylen. Thank you. Because I always love getting new bands. You know, new bands to listen to. You know, album everyone should hear at least one time in their life. Let's go with any album by Bastion Rose, right?
For sure. Any album by Bastion Rose, that's a good one.
Yeah,
that's a good answer. I would say probably that. God, that's my brain is short circuiting right now because there's so many albums that I just love that I would like. I don't even know what I would do if I didn't have.
I know.
To keep banging on the Black Sabbath.
Yeah. Right. Yes. Yeah. But, well, let's do that. You know.
Black Sabbath Paranoid is one of them for me for sure. I would also say like the first Audioslave album is a banger.
God. Yes. Yes. Yes.
It's just like perfection on every level. Just such a good record. I'll go with those two.
Nice, nice, nice. Coffee or energy drinks in the studio when you're recording? What keeps you awake and
Coffee.
motivated? Coffee. I love you for that, brother.
Oh, coffee,
I'm
hands down.
yes.
Yeah, coffee is like my blood. Like my blood is made of like 50% coffee, probably. So,
Yours and mine too. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
yeah, I need it. I need it to survive.
One word to describe Bastien Rose. One word. I know it's hard. Yeah.
Rock.
Perfect. You see,
Rock.
he didn't say new rock, he didn't say old rock, or he didn't go
Nope, that's
subcategory.
right.
He just, yes, I love you for that, So, all right.
Rock,
Yes,
that's
sir. Well, we
it.
do love you here at Windward Trail, and we beg you to come back. Well, if any of your band members want to come on, please send them my way.
Sure.
And I'll gladly
Cool,
promote your
man.
new song. And then y'all have a website right now, correct? I don't have it with me right now.
Yeah, we do. It's bastionrose.com.
Bash, okay.
Yeah, and what I normally tell people is you can just Google Bastion Rose and you'll find us wherever you get your music or your social media. We're big on YouTube and Instagram and Facebook, so and then we of course have like merch and stuff too on our website, and you can get to that merch from any of those places I just said too. So
Yeah.
kind of wherever you go, you want to find us, you can find us.
Nice, nice, nice. Well, everybody go get the song someday. Right now it's on Apple Music, Spotify, Deezer, I guess, Tidal, anywhere you get music. And
That's right.
obviously you can go to their YouTube channel and watch their music videos,
Yeah, man.
Hell yeah, brother. So we do love you here, and I beg you to come back anytime you want to, okay?
Thanks very much, man. Appreciate it.
Yes, sir. And with
Yeah.
that said, everybody, thank you so much for listening to this episode today. And always remember, when words fail, music speaks. Bye, guys.